You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has been open for approximately 53 minutes, so it's time for the opening with Greg Davies, the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. Greg, I wasn't here on Friday, so please tell us what happened, or rather tell me what happened, with the non-farm payrolls data from the United States of America. In other words, the jobs data. A big number or not?
It is. It was a big number because it was, you know, there's quite a lot of noise around the number, obviously with Mr. Trump putting pressure on the Fed and everyone checking to see if Mr. Trump's claims that he's growing the U.S. economy or really making America great again are really coming to fruition. The forecast was for 150,000 jobs. They created 130,000. So slight disappointment, but pretty good under the circumstances.
If you've got the unemployment rate down below 4%, which is essentially full employment, because those people that don't have jobs probably don't want jobs and they just sign on because they're too lazy or there's inappropriate vacancies versus their needs, if you see what I mean, then for another 130,000 jobs to be added, I think it's a really, really good number personally. Anything above 100,000 in this environment with this unemployment rate, which is incredibly low, historically low, must be a win.
Yes, and I mean, you always wonder sort of where they're creating those jobs. It looks like, if you look through the numbers, a lot in the service industry. The fracking side is still doing very, very well in the U.S., despite the oil price being quite a bit lower. So that's the nature of that economy. It always finds a way to reinvent itself every couple of years.
Yes, indeed. Some of the jobs may be just burger flippers. Some of them may be head of wealth, people like you. So not really important jobs. No, seriously, it is creating a lot of service jobs as well. Manufacturing, I'm not so sure about. I will be speaking to Liston Mainshi's independent economic analyst later on and go through the numbers in depth. But anyway, a good number. What was the reaction of the Dow on Friday?
Yeah, a little bit muted in the end. It sort of was a lot stronger, but finished the day 70 points higher. So don't you that all-time high from July doesn't look that far away. We had 26,797. I think the high is around 27.3. So, you know, keeps on putting in solid performances. It actually probably the last 2 weeks has recovered nicely. It's been a buy the dip situation.
Stock Exchange News Service now. Let's come back to South Africa and see what's been released so far this morning in the first couple of hours. This is a company called AVI, Greg, which has always been a strange company. And as I always say, every time I look at the results, it's fish and shoes, or used to be fish and shoes. It says here it had an improved second semester. Like-for-like revenue growth of 1.2%, pressure on sales volumes in a constrained consumer environment. Let's have a look at the operating profit. I think that was down very slightly, if I can just go down a little bit. Yeah, down 3%, headline earnings per share, this dividend maintained at 250 cents. Negligible impact of new accounting standards on headline earnings. Headline earnings per share down 4.9%. This is a familiar story. A constrained consumer environment. So people not spending, in other words.
Yeah, they go to quite lengths to explain the effects of IFRS, you know, the new accounting standard. I think it's good that they get the market in the picture. It seems as more and more way these results are written these days is let's not spook the market. Let's not have anything too confusing or, you know, any double speak really. Let's just put the cards on the table. I mean, you could save yourself all the time. Just read the last two lines. Headline earnings per share down 4.9% to 5.16 cents. And then they maintain the dividend. And I think that's where the market will be pleased. Share price up 1.2%. 85 Rand 51.
I was at the V&A waterfront yesterday, Greg. I'm actually broadcasting from a hotel room in Cape Town rather than my normal place in the Netherlands with my fancy studio. This is my travelling studio, so maybe the sound quality is not going to be quite as good for the next 3 days. But nonetheless, I was at the V&A waterfront doing my own retail research. And the place was full, I have to say, Saturday and Sunday. The V&A was packed and there were lots of people having a lot of fun and the corridors were teeming and you had to sort of occasionally sidestep people because of the crowds. But then when you looked in the shops, there's nobody in there. There's nobody there. These are people looking at the windows and saying, oh, that's nice, but I can't afford it, or I don't want to afford it.
Yes, I mean, that's the thing about recessions, and people think it's, oh, people don't have money and they're not spending. But some of it is a psychological effect of we've got money, but we don't know, you know, and we see everybody else isn't spending, or maybe we should stop as well. And so you get that sort of, you know, well, let's take the kids out for an ice cream, but we're not going into the spur kind of effect.
There was a lot of people at KFC and Wimpy and McDonald's, but when I went to my favourite restaurant, I went, it's got a fishmonger as well as assigned to it, and I bought a couple of bits of fish and a couple of other things, and then I thought, well, goodness me, I'm going to sit down and have one of my favourites, which is called an oyster shooter. It's got oysters and soy sauce and seaweed and all sorts of things in it. You'd hate it. But anyway, the point was that I was there at, I don't know, 2:30 in the afternoon, and I could sit down. The place was half empty, whereas 5 years ago when I lived in Cape Town, it was full from 12 o'clock on the opening until 11 o'clock in the evening. You couldn't get a table. Now there was nothing going on. There is a malaise in South Africa when it comes to spending.
Yes, it does feel like that. And there's restaurants around Joburg, which you would have normally back in the day had to find 2 weeks in advance to get a table, and now you can sort of phone them the afternoon of the event, and that's, oh, we'll just manage to squeeze you in. When you get there, there's plenty of space.
Greg, I'm going to test you now. My test of the day. Workforce Holdings Limited.
No, you've got me totally. It keeps on coming on my social media timeline. I think I better look at what this is about, but I've not been in the loop with it.
Workforce Holdings Limited. The code is WKF, and it came out with its results, but it doesn't say what time period it is. It just says condensed in. Oh, interim. Sorry, the interim results. I do apologise.
Yeah, I'm reading through here. Revenue. Obviously, it's a property company, properties, offices, and so on. Revenue increased by 7.7% to 1.5 billion. EPS decreased by 6.1%. For some reason, it sort of does pop up, you know, the people that you follow on Twitter that understand property, and everyone seems to be quite bearish on it. That's why I haven't really kicked on and done any research on it.
Hasn't traded today, as far as I can see.
Correct. No trade yet today. With buyers at 140, sellers 170.
Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices. Oh, look at that rand, 14.79 today. The dollar rand is 14.79. British pound against the rand is 18.15. The euro rand is 16.32. And the euro dollar is 110.30. Threatening to break 110, which apparently is a bit of a level, just like the gold price level was 15.50. But anyway, let's go down to the gold price now. 1506. It wasn't that long ago, Greg, that it did break briefly in Far East trading hours above 1550, but didn't kick in. It needs to do that in real hours, I think. So anyway, 1506, the gold price barely changed. The platinum price is $9.49, which is down $2, and the palladium price is $15.60, down $12, with the Brent crude oil price prevailing currently at $62.41, which is up 33 cents per barrel. And in the United States on Friday, as you mentioned before, the Dow Jones was up 69 points. Now, this morning, the Dow Jones futures are up around about 42.5, let's call it. And in London, the FTSE up a third. Not much going on overseas. People easing their way back to their desks.
Yes, I mean, overall, it feels a little bit of a subdued day, really. Only one big set of results, that's AVR, we've covered it. Not really that much excitement going forward. We're not sure what to expect from the week. Just looking at my list of trading statements, we're mostly up to date. I don't think we've had Anglo-American, that's due on the 11th. Richemont, that'll be interesting on the 10th. I think that's tomorrow. Some big numbers, some trading statements due.
Most viewed shares this morning, Steinhoff down 3.5%, Sasol up 3%, Naspers barely changed, and Sibania down 1.6%. No stories there, Greg. Looks subdued.
Yeah, it's really, really quiet there. You know, usual suspects are Steinhoff, Sasol. Sasol had an odd day on Friday. We're off to a reasonably strong week, just gave up a lot of ground, bounced straight back today, up 2.8%. As I say, not too many people that bullish on Sasol. It's probably riding on the slightly improved. The oil price bounced up a dollar overnight. OPEC talking about slowing down supply. That's helped the spot price.
Top five major moves. Let's start with the upside here. Sappi up 4.5%, Sasol up 3%, Adcock 2.3% to the good, Fortress B has gained by 2.25%, and Motus, again, that's been popping up recently, 2.1% higher. Any stories there?
Can I actually jump off the screen? Because yes. You see, obviously, they're doing the top 40 there, but there's a company called Into Properties PLC, which is a property company in the UK, which has been hammered down. It actually was as high as 20% higher this morning. Earlier this morning, it's up 16%. So from 6 Rand 40 up to 7 Rand 47. But quite a big move on 2 million shares. But maybe the beginning of people going to say, oh, these property counters, you know, the UK facing ones which are listed in the, on the JSE here, are just been hammered down so much. There's got to be value, or there's got to be someone circling, you know, to grab some cheap assets. So an interesting move that, and it's, I mean, we're only at 10 o'clock and it's up 16%.
Yeah, that's a big move, isn't it? I mean, it's quite a big company and it's an important company because it's almost like it's a gauge for Brexit.
It is certainly of the companies listed on the JSE here. It very much must be the case. Market cap, as you mentioned, there, it's 10 billion rand. It's a legacy from the Gordon family. They're still quite big shareholders there.
What about the downside? Top five downside or bottom five downside movers, please.
I've got two of my favorites there. Sibanye Gold down 1/3, 18.32. Feels like maybe this gold pullback's taking a bit longer to bounce back from this time. Anglo Gold down 1/3, Assore down 1.4. Vakili, that's in the property space, down 1.7 in Mass Real Estate. Had a good day on Friday, giving back 1.9% today at 18.50.
It's pretty routine stuff. Greg, what about the JSE indices as we close this conversation?
Sure. The banks up 0.72, financials up 0.74, industrials up 0.85, and the retailers up 0.59, so all green there. Gold index giving back 1.6, platinum's down 0.45, the resources down 0.02, that leaves the all share up 0.11, 61 points higher, so pretty quiet. 55,652. Volume at 10 o'clock is 10.4 billion.
Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. That was the opening. He'll be back with me for the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.